When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, you said you got this cold open for us. I'm excited.
Oh, I forgot.
No way.
No, I forgot that. No, I forgot that. I
was, no.
I have.
Not that. That makes sense.
There you go.
I was like, come on.
like you fucking idiot, Kyle. How'd you forget that quick?
I was just like, now I don't have anything to fucking talk about.
So parking for Worlds, I guess, like, went from being, like, free to, like, costing multiple, $20 or something. And, like, the ticket for each day was, like, $100.
Okay.
And it was just, like, a lot. It was it kind of is one showing like the progression of the sport in that we
right,
can like
yeah.
charge for our like the entertainment value, I guess, but also it's like already it's gonna be that much, and it didn't really come with anything, you know. It was just $100 to come in.
Yeah.
So I thought it was an odd, like the PDGA wasn't quite on top of what they should be doing.
I wonder who decides on the ticket prices. I'm wondering too, is it whoever's like putting on the tournament, you know, like Dynamic
put
on
TV,
the tournament,
right? Or, oh yeah. Main sponsor.
That or the Pro Tour, might have a say in like how much it is.
It's got to be like a collaboration, but
yeah.
I don't know. I just felt like it was like a lot. We're going from like it was free 2 years ago to $100 a day.
Yeah. Well, at the European Open, I'm pretty sure it was still free this year.
And I feel like it should be as accessible as possible if you want, especially if you want large crowds. Which you would think they would want. It's just a lot.
I think D-Glow was $25 a day. And then you could get it for like, I think it was like 40 if you bought for the week. You know, like if you decided to go all 3 days.
Which is, I mean, fine. Make your money. It was just, it seemed like it was kind of a lot. And,
I'm just trying to compare
to different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm going to try to do some research and find out who's in charge of ticket prices. Cause there's a lot of money with many different ways to watch, you know. Obviously you can just watch on Disc Golf Network, but it was free if you were a PDGA member. And then Jomez Pro did a thing. I'll talk a little bit more about it later where they, like, packed a theater with people to watch the edited final round and Big Sexy Barry commentate on it, like, live. So
that's interesting.
There's a lot of money at Worlds this year.
Right. So, like, did they really need to get it from the spectators?
$100 is to me insane.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
Especially for a fucking 5-day tournament. Eat a dick $500 just to go. It's not. That's not.
I could see maybe if it came with, you know, like if you paid for it and you got like a player pack along with it, you know, you got like
for sure.
commemorative discs or yep. stuff like that. But
or like anything, a
you'd
sticker.
You'd have to give out a lot of swag for me to be able to cough up $100.
Yep. It's just not Cool.
Hopefully, this isn't the beginning of something bigger and people realize that that's insane.
Makes it inaccessible.
But I doubt it.
I don't know.
Because, so I don't know if you heard about, like, the trading cards they started doing for disc golf?
No.
Okay, so they've been doing, like, disc golf pro tour trading cards for a while that you could buy in, like, you know, smaller packs. But now this company, Brixton, I think it's called, started doing cards. And they're doing custom orders. And if you want, like, the top card, you pick your player, you pick if you want a signature on it, and you pick if you want one or two fabrics on it. I think it's like fabrics from an old tour shirt or something. If you want all that, it's $300 for one card. Just one. Just one card.
You know, people will, you set your value, but I don't know. That's a little bit tough.
Yeah, that is insane.
But
to me,
it's like the same thing, you know, the value of discs for a minute there when it was craziness.
I think the value of discs, nothing made after the like the COVID boom of disc golf will ever be worth as much as what was made pre-COVID.
Pre-2020.
Because like the sheer amount that companies are making now.
Right.
Compared to what they were.
Right. There's just no scarcity.
Mm-hmm. That it doesn't make much stuff rare anymore. There's not a lot of stuff that was made in the last 2 years that you would consider rare. I mean, there'll be a couple small runs that may be sought after, but nothing like what you see from 15, 16 Sextons or old Champion Edition plastic. Which, if anyone's listening and you are sitting on a buttload of Champion Edition plastic, old Innova discs, sell them now because those discs are breaking at, I think, a record rate than I've ever seen before. So I think it's like past the life of what the discs can handle, and they're now breaking.
Interesting. Give me your Roadrunners.
Yeah, I've watched I watched this video of this guy pulled a brand new, I think it was a Leopard, out of storage, and just by like touching it, it was crumbling in his hands. Unthrown, completely unthrown, and just like crumbling. So
did he
sell them now while you can still get money, is all I'm saying.
That doesn't sound real.
Yeah, no, I mean, the old Champion Edition plastic, while it feels good, wasn't made as durable. It's not like regular Champ that you have nowadays. It's not as durable. There's like a thing that if your disc starts to smell like crayons, it means it's like on its, like it's starting to deteriorate and it's on its way to like breaking. You'll see it. It's labeled like CE instead of just like Champ, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. I don't know.
It's like really old stuff, like 90s.
Gotcha. Like mine is more like early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's after I think they kind of perfected it more. So now that your stuff's durable, don't worry. I mean, yes. It still might crack one day, but that was a depressing cold open.
Well, sorry.
They can't all be winners, no.
That's yeah, they can't all be winners.
It was a good topic to talk about, and we got to touch on stuff like that, so
right.
I'm cool with it. I wasn't complaining. I was just saying, like, oh.
It was a little bit depressing, yeah. Right. It's like, are we going to that, like, mainstream, expensive bullshit?
Yeah, grow the sport, I guess,
$16 beers and stuff?
No, I don't know if they'll... Do you think they'll ever have like a beer on tour, because PDGA has been famously against like beer at pro tour events.
I dig it because, you know,
I know
5 years sober, but you know, it's nice for some people.
That's where you can make your money. That's where you make your money.
You know, let's go back. We can have like, you know, courses in weed fields.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm sure no one will be snatching buds and right. pocketing them. Gonna have to start charging like $500 a ticket with how much weed they lose.
Yeah, just pockets full.
Yeah. Instead of like being checked for stuff on the way in, you get checked for stuff on the way out. Well, on that note, welcome to the Oh No Disc Golf Podcast. Oh,
sorry. Yeah. Is that what we're doing?
I thought that was a pretty good spot to end.
Totally. Totally. Dead air.
Dead air.
Yeah, I'm Kyle. This is the Oh No Disc Golf Podcast. This is episode 79.
I'm Eric. Kyle said this, all of the things.
And we're best guys friends.
For joining
and,
us. Yep. Man, this introduction is going smooth.
Thank you for joining us. Just take it over.
If you want to support the show, head on over to discbaron.com and use code ONO10 for 10% off. You can head on over to frictiongloves.com and use ONO20 for 20% off. Or head on over to our Teespring store and use code ONO for free shipping. Or if you don't want to spend any money, just head on over to Instagram, share our stuff, like, follow, subscribe, whatever you are doing is cool.
But do something.
And we appreciate it. Or just listen. Just listen.
You could just listen.
Yeah, listening's cool.
That's still something.
That is something, and we appreciate. We appreciate when you guys do nothing as well. We appreciate you all.
All of them. All of it.
Even the people who don't know the show exists, we appreciate you.
Yeah, give it time.
You'll find us.
They'll be fans.
So I played at a new course.
Oh, did you?
I did. I've been dying to talk about it.
Tell me about it.
So I made a small post on Instagram, just me throwing three different shots. Because I didn't play very well at all. Like, not good.
Was it fun?
Not. It was. It was an awesome park. So in Detroit, there is a Detroit golf club that I think started to lose money. So they took out the back nine and just took care of the front nine. So they can still have like a, you know, a club of sorts. And so the back nine started going, you know, just became vacant land.
Yep.
And a group of people put a park there, just a regular park. And then I'm told one guy came through and just started to clear like woods and fairways to make a disc golf course. And so there's this new disc golf course right in Detroit. It's the first one actually like in the city limits of Detroit. Called Palmer Park. It's completely community funded. There hasn't been any help from the city or any like corporate sponsors. It's just been all funded. It's called the People of Palmer Park, I believe. They have lots of signs, so I feel like I should remember it better. But it is a
great plug there, Eric.
I know. It's like almost a dream course. Like, they don't have pads on every hole yet. They have two different baskets spread throughout, but they did such a good job of using the golf course without making every throw just a giant, like, bomber hole.
I love a well-designed course.
Yeah, it's really well-designed. I think the only thing I would say is there seems to be a lot more left-to-right moving, like, fairways than there is right to left. So it's like heavy turnover. And it's not even like that heavy. It's just that is what I think it has the most of, if anything, is left to right fairways.
Must be a forehand dominant.
Yeah, and I can't throw a forehand right now. But yeah, there's tunnel shots. There is two or three, maybe even four, long par fours. But they're not just like, there's the basket way out in the field, throw to it. There's, you know, it's like all, there's all some challenge to it. Yeah, I don't know. I hope I can meet the guy who is in charge of it, because he did a really good job.
Hit us up on Instagram. There's
room for at least 9 more holes. Like, he could make it a 27 hole course without making it crowded. But I think he's probably more worried about making sure everything has a tee pad and all the baskets are the same first. So
probably.
Yeah. So if you're in or near the Detroit area, make sure you check out Palmer Park if you're coming. It was packed when we were there, but there's enough room, you know, unless you have a giant group, you're really not going to be like, yeah, waiting too long.
Nice. Eric's course reviews. Eric reviews a course in 5 words or less.
That was way more than 5
words. No, just like, see if you can do it.
Oh, 5 words or less?
Yep.
Wonderful. That's it.
All right, you only needed one.
Add in the that's it, so it's 3. Wonderful, right. That's it.
That's 3 words. Good job.
Yep. I also have my first tournament in many months coming up on September 10th. It's an ace race style tournament. So I just take one disc. Every hole is under 100 feet, and whoever gets the most aces win.
It's a race.
Does that sound fun?
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
Have you hit an ace lately?
I have not. I haven't had an ace.
Maybe
in
practice.
Almost a year.
Yeah. Like 100 foot upshots.
Takes practice. Oh. I wish I would have played the course when I was down there.
Oh, so you're playing it going blind into a tournament?
Well, they're going to change the course anyway.
To make so it's them blind. All... blind for everyone, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm really not that worried about it. And they made it sound like it's all going to be 100 feet or under, but I kind of think it might be like in between that, like 80 feet and 120 feet. You
well,
know?
It's your one
I
disc.
Like some... I'm kind of in between a P2 and a jawbreaker zone.
Go with the zone.
See, I was thinking the jawbreaker is straight enough that I don't have to worry about it, but I was thinking the zone because then I could at least go forehands at it too if
yeah.
they called for it. But I can't throw a forehand right now. Like,
why?
Not even like on a scramble shot. I think I pulled something in my shoulder.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if it was from disc golf or from tearing plaster with my dad of swinging the hammer so much, but it hurts. So no forehands.
Sad.
No pain on backhands. And there's absolutely no pain on backhands, or else I'd just be taking a rest. But
sounds like butts.
It is sad. And last but not least, Andrew Garza won Michigan State Championships in the AM3 division. So congrats, Andrew.
Congratulations.
That's pretty cool, if you ask me.
I think it's dope. I've never won anything.
You've played Call of Duty. I feel like you probably won Call of Duty matches.
Eh, I just mean like disc golf.
Disc golf.
Specifically.
Uh-huh. You've beaten me before.
I've beaten like individual people. Never really performed in tournament play yet.
Yeah. Are you going to play any tournaments this year? Or just?
Oh, hell yeah. I just need to practice more so I feel comfy again. But I have been playing quite a bit more, so... feeling better.
Sweet. Here you're going out tomorrow.
Yep, playing in the morning.
With other friend of the show.
Will Smith.
Other friend, like we only have 2.
Yeah, we only... all the other people we've had on are not friends, allegedly.
No, they're our friends. They've all told us. And friends don't lie.
Friends don't lie to friends. Especially when they're being forced to be telling me that we're friends.
Are you forcing them? I've never forced them.
I force them, yeah.
Oh, you give them, like, the puppy dog eyes?
Nah, gun.
Gun.
Over Zoom. Allegedly.
That got extreme. That got extreme quick.
It escalated quickly.
Is it like The Godfather where you, like, send them a horse head in the bed, and you like hide a horse head in their bed so they know you're serious.
Yeah,
I've never seen that movie. Have you seen that movie?
What movie is that?
Godfather.
I have seen that, actually, but it was a really long time ago.
Yeah. I was going to say, because that's like a 3-hour
long movie. Back when I watched movies.
Yeah. It's like extremely long, so I was like, yeah, there's no way he's sitting through it.
Yeah, I think I watched it in parts.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it was a slog.
Uh-huh. So no horse heads, though. We decided that.
Maybe like a possum head.
Oh, poor possum. I'd rather you do
poor, that. Sad possums. Okay, well, what are we talking about?
We're moving on to the worlds, because that's all I had for.
Tell me about worlds, Eric.
Everyone in the disc golf community, except for maybe Kyle, knows. Worlds just happened. Well, he knows it just happened, but.
Yeah, the only thing I heard about was the parking, and that Paul Macbeth won.
Yep, those are two things. So we'll just get into the top three of both MPO and FPO, and then I'll kind of go over some what cool anecdotes, I thought. I don't know if I used that word right, but I hope so. So tied for third was Tristan Tanner, Chris Clemens, and Matty O at 42 under. And then Aaron Gossage, who was originally, they tied it for first on the last hole, just like last year, came in second at 46 under. And then Paul Macbeth took home the win after one playoff hole at, well, 46 under. But
wow.
Another one stroke swing on the last hole to give Aaron the tie. And then they went to an island hole, just like last year. And Aaron didn't make the island, where it was last year Paul didn't make the island. And Paul won it that way. So it was
craziness.
It was lighting up to be like, oh my God, Paul Macbeth has to be like, just like, how does this happen 2 years in a row?
Right, that's like the exact same thing.
Yeah, he cans on hole 17. Paul cans a 70-foot putt. I think that was to keep him tied. Well, everyone thought Aaron was going to make his putt, but he missed his putt. So then that gave Paul a one-stroke lead, but it was going to keep him tied going into 18th. So it was like, oh, now Paul's got it. But nope, Paul missed his then shorter putt on 18. And Aaron had a tap in on 18 to tie it back up. But they were battling back and forth. It was so awesome to see. I know, you know, he's gotten his name out there a little bit, but compared to everyone else that was there.
Definitely not as big of a name.
He's almost like a no name.
Yeah.
He's a Colorado native. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
I know you're not a Colorado native, but I feel like you're a Coloradoan at this point.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. I highly suggest going back and watching the, even just the back nine. If you can just watch the back nine, because there was just some absolutely crazy golf. The front nine's good, but the back nine just really, really builds the drama. Yeah, so fun anecdotes. Paul Matty O has been competing at the top level of disc golf for 17 years. 17 years ago at Worlds, he was on lead card with Nate Doss when Nate won.
Okay.
So that's pretty crazy.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. He was 17 then. I don't know if I said that. So he's 34 now. And then Tristan Tanner battled from, he was in the B pool starting the first day, and he battled all the way to a tie for third, leading the tournament, I think, for two rounds.
That's pretty sick.
He is. Yeah. He's finally now just like gotten his ticket to USDGC, because up until now he did not have an invite to USDGC based on his past performances.
Really?
This is the first time. Yeah. I don't know how. I thought he was always playing pretty decent this year.
He's
but I guess
having
not good
a good
enough.
Year so far yeah. this year.
So
I guess you have to have, like, you know, be really good.
It all depends on who you beat. So, you know, like if there's not a lot of people in front of you that don't have their invite to USDGC 2, then, you know, you don't get yours. And there's been a lot of, like, first-time winners or first-time placers. So
gotcha.
It makes sense, but
does.
Still weird. This is the first time at Worlds that someone overcame a 3-stroke deficit to win on the final day. So kind of sad for Aaron, but it's still history.
Still cool for Paul.
Yeah. Cool for Paul. And then if Aaron would have won, he would have been the lowest ranked player to win Worlds. I think he was ranked at 25, and the lowest was Greg Barsby when he won, which was 11. So that's a pretty big gap. Then FPO. We had Holland Hanley at third with 25 under, Henna Blumros at second at 30 under, and Christian Tatar running away with it at 38 under par.
Isn't that who you called?
Yes, it was. It was hard not to call anyone else. I think Paige Pierce came in fifth, in case you were wondering, since that's who you
yeah.
Called. And then Calvin Heinberg Bummer. Was on lead card again, so that was cool, because he was on lead card last year.
That's sick.
Yeah, so he's right there. He's just got to...
just got to do it.
Uh-huh.
He's young. Yeah, they were still making
jokes on the Jomez coverage. It's like, I feel like he's playing so bad, but he's still on lead card. So, like, you know, what happens when he plays good?
It's something.
On the FPO
constantly,
side,
constantly top five.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Like, when he plays bad, he's top five. When he plays good, he's first.
Yeah.
But at the FPO, Christian Tatar shot the 5 highest rated rounds, like the combined rounds ever at FPO Worlds. And this is the first time Katrina Allen finished outside the top 6 at FPO Worlds in her career. 12 straight seasons of placing 6th or better. Did you like my blah, blah, blahs?
That was a good one.
And she only finished 11th. So it wasn't like she was like 25th or 50th. She was five places back, one on a top 10. So she's not going anywhere, if anyone was curious if she was washed up yet.
Washed up.
Yeah.
Out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good tournament, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I highly suggest watching it. Or round 4 of FPO. Kristen just goes off. Final round 2 just goes off. And she shot not the worst round, but like one of the worst rounds at the Emporia Country Club the first time they played there. And then came back and shot like 2 10 downs back to back to give herself an 8-stroke lead to win.
Craziness. She just has that in the bag, you know.
Yeah, at what point are you like, yeah, there's literally nothing I can do wrong and lose. But next year is definitely Calvin's year. 2 times on lead card, he's going to put it together.
Calling it right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm on it with you. I'm on Team Calvin.
Sweet. Stamp of approval from the Oh No Disc Golf podcast of Calvin Heinberg.
3, 2, 1.
Top 5.
Oh, yeah.
So, for our top 5 this week, we picked our top 5 wild animals we would like to see on the disc golf course.
There's many that we don't want to see.
Yeah, yeah. We could probably do that list too, but then Kyle would be upset.
Crying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Full of anxiety. I'm already thinking about them.
All right, we'll talk about the cute furry ones then.
Yeah.
Number 5, we picked squirrels or marmots. We don't have marmots in Michigan, so we just have big fat squirrels, and I think they're cute and fuzzy.
They're plentiful as well.
They can be annoying though.
Yeah, they can.
I've had squirrels kind of climb up in trees right above my head and do that chitter at me. Like they're laughing at me.
They can be rude.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I feel like they carry rabies too, so gotta be careful.
That's what I'm saying. They're basically just fuzzy rats, is all they are.
Yeah, that's like, you know, it sounds like one of the worst ways to die ever. So
attacked by squirrels?
No, rabies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine.
Sounds fucking, like you get afraid of water.
Yeah.
Like yep. You literally cannot drink water.
That's why they had to have the rabies awareness run in the office, man.
It's a fun run.
It's a fun run.
For the cure. It's a good show.
Yes, it is. Just Toby wins that run, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. And they don't have it in a circle.
And Michael throws up Alfredo.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Number four, we pick deer, and it'd be cool to see elk. We see deer. We see quite a bit of deer, but I don't know.
I would fuck with an elk.
I don't think we have elk where I am in Michigan.
Maybe in the UP. Northmore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Up north more, but I don't think there's elk in this area of Michigan to see.
No, just wolverines.
Just fucking wolverines. That'd be kind of cool too, except they might rip my face off.
That'd still be cool. But
no, we have deer. A lot of our courses border cornfields or many other fields, so we get to see a lot of deer, and I think they're some of the prettiest animals out there.
Some beautiful white-tailed deer.
Speaking of deer, I slowed down for a mom deer crossing the road, and like I was almost at a complete stop because she was taking her time, and I'm watching her, and then this baby jets out of the ditch and almost runs into my door. Like, I'm literally almost stopped.
Yeah.
And it has to put on the brakes to not hit me. I'm like, oh my fucking God. You
fucking idiot.
Yeah. So, that was interesting this morning.
I've been hit by a deer. So, I get it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this one might have dented it. Because it was tiny. It was not very big at all. But, which would have been annoying, but.
Yeah, mine, like, dented the shit out of the side, my passenger door, and like rolled along the door or along the side of my car.
Oh yeah, if a big deer hits
shit
it,
shit all over muscle. It. Yeah, he slammed into the side of my car.
And there's a bunch of that was scary as shit.
It was terrible.
Did you poop your pants?
Yeah, a
little bit.
Moving on, number three.
We picked raccoons or possums. It'd be really it's really funny when you're kind of just like going to tee off at hole one and there's just a raccoon there hanging out and pissed at us because he was snapping. What was he under? Wasn't he under something?
One time, Eric and I went to St. Charles. There is a, I think it's like a street hockey type thing.
Yep.
And it was like in one of the, I don't know, slots for that.
And oh, okay, I was
like 2 feet away from that bitch.
Uh-huh. We didn't notice it at first.
Not at all. He didn't notice us. All of a sudden, we noticed each other.
Scared the shit out of each other.
Oh my gosh. Yep. Rakens are really cute until they're pissed. Yeah.
Yeah. Right up until they're not cute anymore.
And then all of a sudden they're just like really quite scary.
That's why we like possums, because normally they just play dead.
That's true.
And they normally don't carry rabies. They can, they just normally don't.
They normally don't.
Yeah. You know why?
No.
Because their body temperature is low, too low for the, like their body, regular body temperature is too low for the rabies virus to survive.
Science, bitch.
Yeah, so that's cool. And they're cute. Possums are so cute. And then they're like fainting goats. They're like the fainting goats of the trash animal world.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then on number two, because they're the only really good water bird, because the other ones are mean, we pick ducks.
Yeah, ducks are cool. I fuck with ducks. Geese,
mean.
Terrible. But really, any birds. I just don't like birds that much.
I like to see them. Like, every once in a while, I'll see bald eagles up here, and it's cool to see, but I don't want to mess with them at all.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to mess with geese. I don't want to mess with no swans. I don't want to mess with no turkeys.
Yeah, but ducks are little chill. Duck? Yeah.
Mallard.
And little baby ducks?
Oh, my God. Baby ducks are so cute. I'm sure all baby... No, some baby birds are, like, hairless and gross.
Gross, yeah. They're like rats with wings. Mm-hmm. Especially seagulls. And fuck seagulls.
Excuse me.
I want to, you know, get them off of the protected species list.
Why are seagulls protected?
Let's start killing seagulls. I don't know.
Nope. I'm not killing any animal.
What's wrong with you? I just mean, like, as a podcast, we can be pro seagull murder.
Nope. I'm not a part of that. And our number one animal that we would like to see on the disc golf course, but I don't think either of us have, is otters, because that's our mascot. And I think otters are probably my favorite wild animal. I still think I like dogs more than otters.
Do you like otters more than beavers?
Yes.
Beavers are pretty sick.
Beavers are pretty sick, but I still think otters are cuter. They're like little, they look like little water dachshunds.
They are like little water dogs.
Uh-huh.
I want one.
Yeah. They're pretty cute. They're probably one of the cutest animals out there. Way cuter than geese. Anything's cuter than a goose. I disagree, but they're definitely not any.
We're endorsing geese murder now.
Nope, we're not murdering anything here.
Allegedly.
Plus, I don't even have the balls to go after a goose, because...
No, you shoot them from far away.
How'd that work with the raccoon?
We're cutting that, Eric.
Couldn't help myself. You set me up too well.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, you can cut the part about the whole geese murder thing, too.
No. I like it.
Well, that was the top five animals we want to see on the course, and some of the animals that we don't want to see on the course. Mainly just geese.
Let us know, what's your favorite animals to see on the course?
Yeah, do you guys see any cool animals on the course?
Yeah, let us know.
Because we kind of mostly get, like, pretty vanilla animals here.
Mostly just squirrels and deer.
Yeah. Lots of squirrels, we really don't run into too many raccoons or possums here.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do see some ducks.
Only on accident.
Well, that was episode 79.
We did it.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
You did it.
Joining us.
Appreciate you. Yeah, what do you got? Anything to look forward to next week? No.
Hopefully I can throw forehand soon. I've been resting it for about a week now, so.
Yeah. That's good about time.
We'll see how that goes. I got to try to go through a whole Cass City Nut League night without forehand, and I'm very forehand dominant in Cass City, so.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Hit some trees for me.
Yeah. Yeah, so tune in next week to find out how that goes, because I'm sure it's gonna go horribly.
Can't wait.
Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week.
Catch you on the flip side.